Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Hey, you ready for this? Get out your word. Get out your Bible. Whether you have it physically, whether you have it on your device, get it out and hold it up in the air. Come on, let me see it. Wherever it is. Here it is. Come on. Let me see them all. Here's what I want you to say. And only say this if you believe it, if this is true. This is my Bible. It is the very word of God. Everything in this book is true. And within it is the direction of my life. Amen. All right, listen up. We are in a series called Once Upon a Time. We started it last week by introducing this series. And if you were not here last week, you don't have to raise your hand if you weren't here. Okay, but if you were not here last week, please go back and listen to the introduction to this series, okay? It's important because we laid down some foundation about what we're going to be talking about the next few weeks, because we're talking about parables and why Jesus used parables, what a parable is, and how they can apply to our lives. And now we're stepping into the actual parables, okay? So, Once Upon a Time is the series title because these parables were fictional stories that Jesus was sharing. He wasn't talking about any particular person right in front of him. That was a made-up story that Jesus used to prove a point. You guys heard any good stories lately? Every story I hear, like, listen, you watch it, read any good fairy tale, right? There's a purpose behind it. It teaches you a lesson. Watch any good Disney movie. There's a battle of good and evil. There's a lesson to be found in them, right? Jesus used parables for the same reason. He was like, listen, pay attention. There's something I'm trying to tell you right here. And he used these parables for one, to fulfill the prophecy that was foretold about who he was, because the Old Testament prophesied that the Messiah would use parables to teach lessons. So he used these as a way to show that he was actually the Son of God. But also, he used parables to encourage people like you and I to seek after him, right? Okay, if you weren't here last week, I talked about like this beautiful thing about hide and seek, and how as a parent, I loved to hide from my kids and to listen to them try to find me, right? It brought me such joy. And Father God, he loves to be sought out by his children. He loves it. He doesn't hide himself from us to be like, you just can't know this part. He keeps things hidden so that as we seek after him, our anticipation builds and builds. And when we discover the hidden revelation, he's like, whoa, what do you think about that? Isn't that cool? That's all the, like, that's why there's parables. That's why there's things. I have read through my Bible from cover to cover a lot of times. And there are still things that I am discovering as I read through my Bible. Because it is impossible to take it all in at once. It's impossible. And so every time I read God's word, there's something new that I'm like, whoa! And he's like, I know! Isn't that amazing? I was waiting for you to catch that. That's fun, right? So today, if you were here last week, pick up what I'm putting down, okay? Today, let's start where all worthwhile stories begin. Once upon a time, there was a farmer. Okay? Once upon a time, there was a farmer. Let's read together in Matthew chapter 13, 1 through 9, you see back at the first slide, we're going to go and pick up some scriptures down below as well. But let's read together Matthew 13, 1 through 9. Later that day, Jesus left the house and sat beside a lake. Here's what I love. People were so like anticipating that wherever Jesus went, like, this is going to be good. Every time he sat down, people were like, oh, I'm going. Yeah. Listen, they were. Like, there he is, I'm going there. Yeah. Right? Don't stop. Do it. Let's follow him. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Not to go away from them. He got in a boat to push out a little bit so that he could speak to the entire crowd that was there. He sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. And he told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. You ready? Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds, and as he scattered them across his field, I want you to just pay attention here, okay? Pay attention to the different types of ground that these seeds fell on. Some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Do you hear what Jesus just said? If you have ears and you're ready to hear truth, you should listen and you will understand. Each one of these types of areas spoken about, that Jesus talked about in this parable, represent the condition of a person's heart upon receiving the gospel message. That's what it was, okay? What is the gospel? Pastor Paul, what are you talking about? The gospel message is the message of salvation through Jesus. It's the message that Jesus is the Son of God, who came to earth to be born as a baby, who lived an entirely sinless life by his choice, okay? His choice, lived an entirely sinless life from birth to adulthood, and at 33 years old, chose to die on a cross in order to be the final sacrifice for all sins. Was buried, and then by the Spirit of the living God was resurrected 3 days later, and then ascended back up into heaven with on his throne, who empowered those believers, that's me, I'm a believer, to go and do the same. Yeah. That's the gospel message. Yeah. Okay? And this story that Jesus told talks about different people's response to that gospel message. Today, as you're sitting here and you're listening, I'm telling you, your heart is one of these. Everyone in this room, your heart is one of these things. And I want you to be really attentive to what is being said. because God loves you so very much. He loves you so much that he sent his son so that you can believe and not perish. The gospel is the message of salvation, and the scattered seeds in this story that the farmer scattered represents the gospel message. So we're going to go through these different seeds and these different soils, the different areas that they were spread, okay? And you're going to see that we're going to skip down to verses, like some other verses, because Jesus told this story, and then Matthew says, like, after he had told the story, some people, their response to a parable was this: that doesn't make sense. And they walked away. What a weirdo. Right? But some people's response was, why are you telling us stories? Why are you using parables? Can you explain this? And so Jesus explained it to those who were like, hey, I'm responding. I feel myself responding to what you're saying. What does this mean? He's like, here I am. Come find me. Here I am. Come find me. So the seeds that were scattered on the path, Jesus said that there were seeds that were scattered on the footpath, and the birds came right away and ate them up, right? So it's like they were just scattered on the sidewalk. This is what Jesus says, Matthew 13, 18 to 19. Listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. The evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seeds on the path is the rejection of faith. That's what it is. It's the rejection of, like, that makes no sense. That's weird. Next, please. That's what it is, right? I don't understand this. I don't want to understand this. This place is weird. Those seeds, that soil, that rocky path, are people who hear the message and have no interest in it. No matter how many different ways you try to explain it, it doesn't make sense to them. That seed that was scattered doesn't even have a chance to germinate. Have you ever seen seeds as they start to, like, germinate? Like, they break open and the little root comes out? Those seeds didn't even have that chance. They are thrown out, and the birds came and ate them, representing how the enemy works. You don't want, don't listen to that. Don't listen to that. Right? Don't take, no, you don't get to, no, don't listen to that. And the enemy comes and snatches up any word of truth that might have fallen on our hearts. The seeds on the path is what it looks like to reject faith. Listen, you might be sitting in this room today and you're like, I've done that. Today is a different day for you. And God in his grace and mercy and kindness has said, here, let me try it again. Let's try it again, a different way, right? So now we go to a different type of soil, the seeds on rocky soil. The seed on the rocky soil in Matthew 13, 20 to 21, it says this: the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. This is good. Oh, I want that. This, oh, my heart's responding. Yes, yes. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. Deep, when you don't have deep roots, that means you're not disciplined. You're not plugging into community. You're not going to life groups. You're not spending time in God's word. You're not listening and re-listening and trying to absorb. The roots are shallow. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Guys, hang on, hang on. Don't get offended. I pray against the spirit of offense right now. Seeds on rocky soil, this is what it looks like. Emotional responders. Yeah, right? A seed that is planted on rocky soil is like an emotional responder. These people hear and believe. Like, yes, that makes sense. Yes, I want it. Yes, this is good. But when we stand and we're like, okay, let's repeat this prayer. And we say, listen, go meet Matt and Jess at the back at Next Steps. Go get plugged into a life group. You're like, I don't need that. I don't need that. I'm going to walk down this way and walk out that door. I don't need it. Listen, this felt good. That's it. That's all I need. It makes sense initially. It sounds exciting. Yeah, of course it sounds exciting because you were born for that moment. You were created for that moment, for relationship with your Savior. That's what you were created for. So it's like, yes. But when you're talking about, I got to spend time with people, I got to give up some things. I got to do things different. Nope. I am not setting my alarm 30 minutes early to go read my Bible. Absolutely not. I am not taking a night out of my week to go to life groups. Listen, there's this new show on Max called The Pit, and it's on Thursday nights. I can't go to life group on Thursday nights. All right? When the same stuff happens in their life that always happens, the same drama, the same chaos, they lose that faith. They might be believing a lie that life with Jesus is supposed to be easy. I said yes, so now all my problems are done. That's a lie. That's a lie. You know what? Jesus said this, in this world, you are going to have problems. It's going to be hard. But then he said, but don't worry, because I've overcome that. Life with me overcomes anything in this world. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen, right? Emotional responders are an immediate yes, but then when it gets rough, or there's like, I have to change. It's like, no. That's the rocky soil. Maybe you're sitting here like, I've done that. I've actually said yes quite a few times. Yes, yes. But then the same cycle starts over again. And the same crap keeps happening. And I'm like, oh, yes. I got to go over here. Vomit. What? Oh, go back. You should probably go back and listen to the message a few weeks ago called The Forward Movement, if you don't know what that's talking about. Okay? That scattered seed germinates, but the shallow roots allow the germinated seed to quickly wither and die. Then we come to the seeds that are thrown into soil, and that same soil is full of weeds and thorns. Goat heads from the devil. Okay? This is what it says in Matthew 13:22. The seed that fell among the thorns represent those who hear God's word, But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. Okay, I want you to just listen for just a minute. Jesus didn't say they don't believe. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say that they say, no, I don't want this. He says there's no fruit that's produced. Ooh. The seeds among the thorns, hold on, are unfruitful believers. Pastor Paula, we just did a whole year of what it looks like to bear good fruit. You're right. And some of you in this room didn't bear any fruit. Just saying. I'm not wrong. Some people in this room didn't bear one new fruit in 2024. My personal opinion, I think this might be the most dangerous type of soil. We have fire protection. I'm not going to hell. I believe in Jesus. I've said yes. But it's deceptive. These people believe, but they don't do anything with it. Nothing. There's no discipline. There's no obedience. There's an understanding of God, but nothing to do with the power available to them. Listen, some of you are squirming today. Good, squirm. 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 You need some fertilizer. That means poop. You need some poop thrown in your life. So it gets hard and stinky and messy, and you have no choice but to say, I need to bear some fruit or I need to get out. Right? Listen, I want you to listen to what Paul said to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 3:5, this is what Paul said. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them stay godly. Stay away from people like that. I tell the same thing to everyone at Hope City. If you're surrounding yourself with people who know religion but do nothing with the power, get away from them. Have nothing to do with unfruitful believers except to encourage them to come and do the hard stuff and produce the fruit. If you're in here and you're like, dang, I have been unfruitful, I'm telling you, take the next step. Get plugged into a life group. Be here on Sunday mornings at 9:15 and pray for the service. Be fruitful. Produce. It's what God's calling us to. This relationship that I walk with Jesus in is more than fire insurance. It's a life of power, of expectation. He called me to raise the dead, heal the sick, and cast out demons, and he called you to the same thing. And here you go. The last soil in Matthew chapter 13, verse 23 says this. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produced a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. The good soil is fruitful believers. Fruitful believers. Listen, I'm spreading today. I'm spreading. What kind of soil is this falling on right now? Where are you? Where are you? There are the ones, these people are the ones who have believed, received, and are putting in the work. Come on. That's what a fruitful believer looks like. They're bearing good fruit. They are going and they're spreading new seed. It's called multiplication. That's what God called us to do. When you're a fruitful believer, not only are you bearing fruit, guess what fruit does? Spreads new seed. Inside every fruit is the seed of the next generation. But this takes obedience. This takes discipline. But here's what I want you to hear. Every single one of us in this room, listen to this. This last part. The spreading of the seed is not contingent upon the condition of the soil. God's going to spread his seed regardless. He's going to spread his seed regardless. He knows the condition of every single heart in this room. He knows the condition of every single heart outside of this door. And he says, spread it. Spread it freely. If you notice, the farmer did not go and examine the soil and try to like sprinkle it only in the area that has good soil, did he? Jesus said he took it and he threw it freely. Whew. Right? God does not withhold the message. He knows who's going to receive even before the seed is scattered. Amen. And yet, he still scatters. Yeah. Oh, he is kind. Yeah. Isn't that kind? That is kindness. He knows who's going to say, nope, don't want that. And yet he goes, here's some seed. Here's some seed. He is so kind. You know, he knew the condition of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. When the nation of Israel split into the northern and southern kingdom, the southern kingdom remained just Judah, the tribe of Judah, and the rest of the northern kingdom was known as Israel. Judah had its like ups and downs. Good kings that followed God's word, bad kings that led the nation of Judah like away. And then good kings that led them back to God, and then bad kings. Israel, the northern kingdom, had all bad kings. They are bad. And they started off bad and they went to worse. And they led the nation of Israel into idolatry, into child sacrifice. Like, they were bad, bad. The nation of Israel, God's chosen nation that he had brought out of slavery of the land of Egypt, through the Red Sea, over the Jordan River, he had marched them around the town of Jericho, and the walls came down with a simple parade. Those same people totally turned their back on the God that led them there. And yet, God said this to Ezekiel. He said to the prophet Ezekiel, go to them and say these words. In Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 7, he said, you must give them my messages, whether they will listen or not. But they won't listen. For they're completely rebellious. Wait, then why? Then why are you giving them this message? Because he loves us. Because he loves you. Because he is kind. That was more of a word to Ezekiel saying, listen, I already know what's going to happen. You don't have to feel sad for me. I already know. I just want you to be obedient. He calls us to the same thing. God spoke to me something this week that I was like super challenged with. Because I've been in ministry for almost 30 years. And it's really easy for me to like get all judgy when it comes to like missionaries that are in foreign nations. And I'd be like, well, how many people are you seeing come to Christ? And I hear like 2 last year. Well, we haven't seen any yet. And it's really easy for me to be like, then what are we, like, why are we sending you? Why aren't you being productive? I'm just being real. it's okay for your pastor to be real, right? And he said, as I read this in Ezekiel, he said, I sent Ezekiel as my missionary, knowing nobody was going to turn, but I love them. I wanted to give them the opportunity. I send those men and women as my missionaries to people, but I know they're going to get zero in return. Their return on investment is going to be 2%. That's like bankruptcy, right? I'm not a businessman, but I think that'd probably be bankruptcy. Because he gives everyone the opportunity to receive, even when he knows he won't. They won't. God wants you and I to go and spread seed, regardless of the condition of the soil. We carry the gospel message with us everywhere, and he says, spread it. Spread it freely. Let it go.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.